everyone, this is Erin. I play Amonymous on Summer City Transmit and the Sapphic Cast. And I created and or work on these two shows because when I was a kid, I latched onto any story I could find about girls that were different, weird, unique, or just misunderstood. Because that's how I felt and that's how I was treated. And a lot of my favorite stories were about girls that acted more like boys or didn't conform to female gender norms, although that's not something I could identify or put into words when I was originally watching them. My personal favorites were Dinky, played by Winona Ryder in Welcome Home, Roxy Carmichael, and Iggy in my favorite movie, Fried Green Tomatoes, played by Mary Stuart Masterson. Now, it wasn't until much later that I realized that I was gay, but that creative seed was already planted for me. I knew I wanted to grow up and tell stories or direct stories or write stories or create some kind of outlet for people like me to find themselves in a character in fiction that allowed them to escape or feel like they were seen. And so my goal here isn't to just have a coming out story every week, but to have an array of characters in our stories and in our podcast that someone somewhere can identify with so that they themselves can feel seen and understood. So happy Pride, everyone. I hope you enjoy what we're putting together here. And if you have a request for a character like you that you want to see on the show, send us a message at our Twitter at The Sapphic Cast or to our email at darkquillproductions@gmail.com. So thank you, and please enjoy our show.
Hello, everyone. This is Corin Rayburn from Summer City Transmit, wishing you a safe and happy Pride. Bye-bye now.
Hey there, my name is Rain Dove, and I am here with the Sapphic Podcast, and they have an awesome new episode coming right up. First, they wanted me to tell you, what does pride mean to me? Well, it's pretty easy. Pride means no apologies, means no hiding. And maybe that means not necessarily not hiding from the environment that you're in, because you might be in an environment in which violence can occur for you just wanting to be you. However, it means not hiding from yourself. Knowing your truth, knowing your worth, and look around the world. Every single Pride parade, every single Pride event that's happening right now, it's a beacon of light, letting you know that even if you're alone in your immediate space, you're not alone on the planet, because we are here and we love you very much. And I hope that you love this next episode coming up.
Showrunner Alex wanted to create a special speech for the top of this episode, but hospital stays and life got in the way, so instead they've sent me this monologue, performed by the character of Naomi in the show Sense8. This monologue encompasses everything Alex wanted to say and more, so here it is as performed by me. I've been thinking about my life, and all of the mistakes that I've made. The ones that stay with me, the ones I regret, are the ones that I made because of fear. For a long time, I was afraid to be who I am because I was taught by my parents that there's something wrong with someone like me. Something offensive, something you would avoid, maybe even pity. Something that you could never love. My mom, she's a fan of St. Thomas Aquinas. She calls pride a sin. And of all the venial and mortal sins, St. Thomas saw pride as the queen of the seven deadlies. He saw it as the ultimate gateway sin that would turn you quickly into a sinaholic. But hating isn't a sin on that list. Neither is shame. I was afraid of this parade because I wanted so badly to be a part of it. So today, I'm marching for that part of me that was once afraid to march, and for all the people who can't march, the people who are living lives like I did. Today, I march to remember that I'm not just a me, but I'm also a we, and we march with pride. So fuck you, Thomas Aquinas. Sex Sells by Jay. Killing someone never got any easier. In fact, it got harder every time. Mara had thought about how to off Sue for days, but nothing she'd come up with sounded right. Shoot her? No, that was lame and a bit too messy. Slitting her throat or stabbing her were out for the same reasons. What about pushing her off a cliff? Mara gnawed on the end of her pen and considered it for a moment. Tempting, but it had been done to death already. No pun intended. Hire a hitman? Not personal enough. Plus, a professional killer would do it quickly and with a minimal amount of suffering, and that wasn't what Mara wanted. Not for this particular victim. After cheating on her just when Mara had thought the relationship might be going somewhere, Sue deserved a more gruesome death. Mara leaned back in her seat and swirled her spoon through the foam left over at the bottom of her mug. Normally, the soothing background noise of clinking ceramic cups, the hiss of an espresso machine, and the murmur of conversations inspired her. But today, even the familiar sounds did nothing for her. She wanted to kill the noisy group of tourists who apparently presumed the other customers wanted to hear every word of their conversation. But then again, she'd have to find an effective murder method first. The loud hip-hop music blaring from the earbuds of the teenager slouched at the table next to hers didn't exactly help either. She sent him a glare. Maybe electrocution would work. Could you get zapped into the great beyond by your cell phone or MP3 player? Probably not. Besides, she'd already killed someone off with electricity. No, she needed something else. Something unique. Sighing, she dropped the spoon into her empty mug. She needed another caramel macchiato. Hey, could that be the perfect method she was looking for? Was there such a thing as caffeine poisoning? Her cell phone rang before she could get herself another coffee. She fished her cell phone out of her backpack and flipped open the protective cover. Her mood instantly improved when she saw the name on the display. Haley Wheeler. Can you die of a caffeine overdose? Mara asked instead of a greeting. A moment of silence filtered through the connection. Good morning to you, too. I'm doing just fine, thanks for asking. Despite the mild rebuke, Haley's sexy voice was laced with humor. Good morning, Mara repeated dutifully. How's my favorite editor today? I'd be flattered if I didn't know for a fact that there's not exactly a lot of competition in that category. Details, details. Okay, you're my only editor, but you'd still be my favorite even if I had a dozen. I'd better be, since I single-handedly saved the main character in your last book from wearing a T-shit instead of a T-shirt. Hardy har har. I will hear that until I fall face first onto my keyboard and croak, won't I? Oh yeah, you bet you will. Mara groaned, but the familiar banter still made her smile. God, she loved a woman with a sense of humor and a way with words. Add to that a killer smile and a good command of grammar and syntax, and Mara was a goner. Too bad that this particular woman was her editor, and Mara wasn't even sure she was gay. Chances were she was either a lesbian or bi, considering she edited lesbian fiction for a living and had even put together a pretty hot lesbian erotica anthology last year, but it wasn't a sure thing. And Mara had never managed to come up with an inconspicuous way of finding out. How did you ask the person whose gently wielded red pen had helped garner you 4 literary awards if she might possibly be interested in women? Mara's overactive imagination immediately presented a scenario where she sent Haley an email saying, "Do you think I should cut the prologue and start with a detective's point of view? Should that sentence at the beginning of chapter 18 have a comma or a semicolon? Oh, and while I'm asking you questions, are you gay?" Nope, out of the question. Mara switched her cell phone to the other ear. So, what about that caffeine overdose? Do you think a grown woman could die of it? No, Haley said without hesitation. Trust me, if that were possible, I'd have shuffled off this mortal coil at least an hour ago. Christ, now she's quoting Shakespeare. Mara tried not to swoon, and instead focused on what else Haley had said. Her tone had been lighthearted enough, but after 2 years, 4 novels, 2 dozen video calls via Skype, and more emails than Mara could count, she knew Haley well enough to detect the undercurrent of frustration in her voice. Rough day? Just a tight deadline for a new manuscript from a first-time author. Some of the writers in Mara's critique group were newbies, so she knew how time-consuming and exhausting editing a debut novel could be. Ugh, I don't know how you do it. All those dragging openings, heaps of adjectives, info dumps, and point of view violations? Mara shuddered. I think I'd be ready to commit harikari with my red pen after the first chapter. It's harakiri, Haley said, making Mara smile. God, she's so predictable. Predictable, but cute. Even the occasional text messages Haley sent her used perfect grammar and proper punctuation. None of them ended with a string of acronyms such as C-U-L-A-8-R, unfortunately. Fine, Mara said. I'd commit harakiri then. Most manuscripts aren't that bad. I actually find it pretty rewarding to mentor our newbies and help them grow as writers. That was typical Haley. She never complained or gossiped about any of Mara's fellow writers, even the ones who deserved it. The woman was the epitome of professionalism. Mara admired that about her, but it probably also meant that Haley would never start a relationship with one of the authors in her charge, even if she was a lesbian. And every now and then I get to work on a truly excellent manuscript, Haley added, like yours. Even knowing she probably looked like a Cheshire cat on an ecstasy high, Mara couldn't help grinning as if she'd just won the Pulitzer Prize for fiction. Flattery will get you everywhere, she paused. Are we flirting or just joking around? She wasn't quite sure. Haley cleared her throat. A creaking sound drifted through the cell phone, and Mara imagined Haley leaning back in her office chair, the blouse stretching over her generous breasts, the way it had during their last video call. Good thing Haley didn't suspect that she had inspired not just the description of Mara's latest heroine, but also several late-night fantasies. So, Haley said, why are you asking about lethal caffeine doses? Are you overindulging in that 500-calorie milkshake you call coffee again? Mara peeked at her empty mug. It had been her third. Busted. When had Haley gotten to know her so well? Don't worry about the caffeine, Haley said. All the sugar in those things will kill you long before the caffeine does. Mara sighed. That's not why I'm asking. It's for the new book. I'm trying to come up with a halfway creative plot. And? Zero, zip, zilch, nada, niente, ran, yet, nikes, Haley laughed. Okay, I get it. Stop showing off your language skills. Well, how was she supposed to impress a woman who made her living with words? Everything I've thought of so far seems either lame or I've already used it in one of my previous novels. I need something fresh. I don't want to be one of those writers who basically write the same book over and over again. Agreed. Actually, I've been thinking about that too. You have? God, Haley would be the perfect woman for her. She lived in an imaginary world populated by fictional people for most of the day, too, and would understand when Mara started to scribble on napkins during dinner dates. She would probably even chime right in when Mara complained about the plot holes in the movies they watched. The same couldn't be said for Sue, the ex-girlfriend from hell. Of course, Haley said. As your editor, I have a vested interest in your continued success. Was it really just that? Mara wanted to believe that they had become friends, and Haley wanted her to succeed for personal reasons, too. So, what do you suggest? I love your mysteries. I really do. But I think you should consider branching out a little. Make your stories a little sexier. The combination of Haley's voice, smooth, silky, and confident, and her saying the word sexier, distracted Mara for a moment. She nearly missed the meaning of her words. You want me to write a romance novel? Haley huffed out a breath. Don't make it sound as if I asked you to write a trashy dime store novel that involves a lot of damsels in distress, heaving bosoms, and moist love caves. Mara burst out laughing. Love caves? Had any of Haley's writers ever used that term in a manuscript? She was almost afraid to ask. I don't know, even without the heaving bosoms and the love caves. Come on, putting a little romance in your books wouldn't be that bad, would it? Not that bad? Mara's voice ended on a squeak. Haley, I kill people for a living. On paper. Jesus, Mara, if you keep saying it like that, I'll have to bail you out of jail. Do I really have to remind you of what happened when you called the poison control hotline and asked how many belladonna berries were needed to kill a 200-pound man? Heat flooded Mara's face. Just like the little tea-shit mishap, she'd never lived that down. She peeked up from her notebook. Several patrons of the coffee shop were now staring at her as if she were Ted Bundy, Jeffrey Dahmer, and Jack the Ripper all rolled into one. Great. Loud enough for everyone to hear, Mara said, I'm a mystery writer. I write police procedurals and murder mysteries. I don't do... She lowered her voice, now speaking just to Haley. Sex. I mean, sex scenes. They're called love scenes, not sex scenes. Same thing, Mara grumbled. No, it's not the same thing at all. Love scenes are an expression of the character's feelings for each other. It's all about emotional intimacy. Even if, on occasion, it might be hard and fast and up against a wall. Mara tugged on the neck of her t-shirt as heat pulsed through her body. Jesus, Haley. Whereas a sex scene. I know. If she didn't stop Haley, she would overheat and her attentive audience would call in an ambulance because they thought she was having a stroke or something. Besides, Haley said, not all romance novels need to have a love scene. Despite what some people might think, if that's why you're so reluctant to try writing one. Wonderful. Now Haley thought she was a prude. That's not it, really. I have nothing against sex. I mean, sex scenes, love scenes, Jesus. No other woman had ever managed to fluster her like this without ever having been in the same room. A soft chuckle drifted through the line. The erotic sound made Mara flush even more. She fanned herself with her notepad. By now, half of the coffee shop's patrons were probably listening in on their conversation. If any of the laptop-equipped people at the nearby tables were fellow novelists or, worse, comedians, she was providing them with some first-class dialogue. I'm fine with love scenes, she said as calmly as she could. It's just, I don't know. Romances are just not my thing. Haley was quiet for a moment. On the page? Or in real life? Mara's mouth went dry. In the 2 years they'd been working together, Haley had never asked her such a personal question. Was she just trying to deepen her understanding of the woman behind M.C. McKinney, award-winning author of lesbian mystery novels? Or did she have a personal interest in the answer? Sorry, Haley said, interrupting the rare silence between them. I shouldn't have asked that. No, it's fine. The last thing Mara wanted was for Haley to think her private life was off limits. If it were up to her, Haley would be her private life. When it comes to real life, I'm a big fan of romance. Admittedly, I haven't had much success in that department lately. My last girlfriend, well, let's just say I had my reasons for naming my next murder victim after her. That should let Haley know she was single and a lesbian, right? Just in case Haley hadn't read her author's bio? Haley chuckled. Ouch. Let me guess. She dies a horrible, excruciatingly slow, very painful death? That's for sure. I just haven't figured out the details of her demise yet. Nail gun? Haley suggested. Ooh, that has definite possibilities. Mara scribbled it down on her notebook, underlined it twice, and drew a large exclamation mark next to it. Sounds like you've got an ex or two you wouldn't mind killing off, too. Haley gave a noncommittal hum. Don't we all? Mara waited, but Haley left it at that. Damn. No mention of the ex's gender or whether Haley was single, too. Listen, Mara. God, she loved the way her name sounded coming from Haley's lips. She made the dot of the exclamation mark into a little heart, then scrunched up her face and crossed it out. Maybe she should try her hand at a romance novel after all. She had the cheesy stuff down pat. I don't want to change your style or talk you into writing something you're not comfortable with. If writing romance isn't for you, that's just fine. That wasn't what I was suggesting anyway. Then what were you suggesting? Have you ever considered romantic suspense novels? Haley asked. Romantic suspense? Mara drew out each syllable. Another hum from Haley. Somehow she managed to make even that sound sexy. Yeah. Or in your case, romantic mystery. You could still have a mystery with dangerous criminals, nail-biting tension, and clever police work. You'd just add a romantic subplot.
If it's not that different from what I've been writing, why try a new genre?
Easy,
Sex cells. I thought they're called love scenes, not sex scenes. Touché. Haley's tone revealed that she was smiling. But you know what I mean. Lesbian readers prefer contemporary romance novels. Even established authors of mysteries like you will never sell as many copies as someone who writes romances or romantic suspense. Mara knew that all too well. Her bank account knew it too. Some months she had to take on copywriting jobs for local companies so she wouldn't have to go back to her day job. So far, she had never considered changing what she wrote just to make more money, and she didn't want to do it now. But maybe Haley was right. There were only so many ways to kill a person. If she wanted to keep her writing fresh, she had to think of something else. Giving Detective Walker a girlfriend might be an option. It would humanize her, make it easier for readers to identify with the workaholic detective, and provide a nice source of internal conflict. And if she included a little romance in her manuscripts, at least she would be able to live vicariously through her characters since her own love life was non-existent. She could even model the love interest of the Haley-inspired detective after herself. She shook her head at herself. Okay, maybe she wouldn't go that far. I know it's not fair, Haley said. But it's just the reality of lesbian fiction publishing, and I hate to see you struggle. You deserve a much wider audience. Mara smiled. Haley never failed to let her know how much she liked her writing, handing out praise along with constructive criticism. But it was still nice to hear it again. Could I still kill off Sue? Mara finally asked. Haley laughed that special laugh of hers. The one that had gotten Mara the first time they'd talked on the phone, and that always made her smile in reflex. We could put it in the publishing contract if you want. No, thanks, I trust you. The laughter stopped. Thank you, Haley said, her tone now serious. Thank you for hearing me out. Even if you end up not following my suggestion, that means a lot. Mara didn't know what to say to that. What? The great author is speechless? You don't have to decide right now, Haley said when Mara remained silent. Think about it for a while. We can talk about it some more when we see each other next month. Next month. The mere mention sent a tingle through Mara's body. They would both attend a lesbian fiction conference in Washington, D.C. and meet in person for the very first time. After having a crush on Haley for nearly 2 years, the thought of coming face to face with her was equally exciting and terrifying. What if Haley didn't live up to her expectations? Mara suppressed a snort. As if. It was more likely that she would embarrass herself in front of 350 lesbians, including her colleagues, beta readers, and critique partners, by confessing her undying love for her editor up on stage should she receive another award. All right, Mara said. See you at the GCLS con, then. Right. And if you need anything before then, call me. Anything? Did that include a date for the dance on the last night of the conference? Mara didn't dare ask. Chicken. And you write bone-chilling mysteries for a living. Pathetic. Does that include... She took a deep breath. Come on, be a woman. Ask her out. What have you got to lose? Yes? Haley prompted. Mara clutched the edge of the table. Does your offer include... I was wondering... Yes? Could we maybe... would you have time to get together during the con to brainstorm ideas for unique murder methods with me? I'll even buy the coffee. Don't worry, black, no sugar. None of that 500-calorie milkshake or those other horrendous additions that destroy a perfectly good cup of coffee for you. Not hesitating for a second, Haley said, it's a date. Great, I will... Mara snapped her mouth shut. Had Haley just said, date? Don't read anything into it, dummy. It's just a figure of speech. But Haley made a living by choosing the right words in the right place. She wouldn't have said it if she didn't mean it, would she? Mara's cell phone chose that exact moment to start beeping, indicating that the battery was about to die. No, 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 not now. Oh, crap. Beep. Beep, 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 beep. If you'd rather keep things strictly professional, I understand, Haley sighed. I just thought... No! Mara's heart beat so loudly that it drowned out the annoying beep of her cell phone. I mean, yes, I'd love to have coffee with you, as a date, not just a business meeting. Only silence answered. Haley, are you still there? No answer. Mara moved the cell phone away from her ear and stared at the dark display. Shit, you stupid piece of technology! She slapped the phone's leather cover closed with more force than necessary and stuffed it into her backpack along with her notepad. If she ever included a romantic subplot in one of her novels and kept the two potential lovers apart by having the goddamn phone die, her readers would accuse her of relying on contrived coincidences. The woman next to her got up, scraping the chair legs across the floor. Yeah, great, show's over, so now you can leave. No happy ending today. Mara got up too. No reason to stay. She wouldn't get any work done now anyway. Not after this. She would go home and call Haley back, if she didn't chicken out. Haley might not even pick up if she thought Mara had hung up on her. Instead of walking toward the exit, the woman from the neighboring table stepped up to Mara and held out her phone. Here, use mine. What? Mara stared at her. A flush crept up the woman's neck. She shuffled her feet. Sorry, I couldn't help overhearing part of your conversation. You should call him back before he thinks you're not interested. Her, Mara said automatically. The stranger shrugged. Then call her back. She nodded down at the phone on her outstretched hand. Mara stared back and forth between the woman's face and the phone for a moment longer before hastily reaching for the device. Thank you. Usually, she relied on speed dial, but there were two phone numbers she knew by heart. The pizza delivery service in her neighborhood and Haley's cell. Quickly, she typed in the number and lifted the phone to her ear. It rang for quite a while. Just when Mara thought Haley's voicemail would pick up, that familiar, sexy voice came through the line. Yes? Haley sounded cautious. It's me, Mara. Sorry, my battery died. Did you, hear what I said before the damn thing gave up the ghost? No. The last thing I heard you say was no. For a few moments, no sound at all filtered through the phone, as if Haley had even stopped breathing. What else did you say? Mara smiled. Well, since you want me to write a romantic suspense, I'll need a little more help with the book than I usually do. Of course. What kind of help do you need? Still that cautious tone. Brainstorming murder methods, as you said? No, I can handle those, but I might need a little help researching the romantic part of the novel. Mara clutched the cell phone so tightly that her knuckles blanched and the woman next to her gave her an alarmed look. Oh, Haley said after a while. Sure, I mean that's what we editors are there for, right? To help with whatever you need. Mara was about to agree. It was easier to keep joking and hide behind a lighthearted tone in their familiar roles. But then she paused. Unlike her manuscripts, life couldn't be revised afterward if you didn't get it right the first time. And she wanted to get this right more than she'd wanted anything in a very long time. Haley? Yes? I'm not talking to the editor. I know. It wasn't the editor who agreed to help you with the romantic part of your novel. Mara stood still for a moment, then hopped up and down like a preschooler who'd just been promised a visit to the zoo. So he'll have coffee with me? Like I said, it's a date. A wave of giddiness swept over Mara, and now she could no longer resist teasing Haley just the tiniest bit. Shouldn't it be, as I said? Smartass. Yes, but I'm your smartass, Mara wanted to answer, but it was a little too soon for that. If she was patient, she might be able to say it one day. After all, they were an award-winning writer and an experienced editor. Between them, they should be able to create the perfect happy ending.
Thank you for listening to the Sapphic Cast. We would love your feedback on Twitter at TheSapphicCast and a rating or a review in your podcast player of choice. If you like what we're doing, find out more about how you can support us at darkquillproductions.com. There you'll find a link to our Patreon, our Ko-fi page, and more information about how you can spread the word and our other shows that we're working on. Hey, and while you're at it, tell your friends about us. And if you don't like what we're doing,
maybe just keep that to yourself. Let's be positive here. All links to creators and stories can be found in the show notes. And now finally, our credits. The showrunner and editor of the Sapphic Cast is Alex Woods. Narrator, additional editor, and co-producer is Aaron B. Lillis. Production and moral support is by Mio Ratton. And Snips the Duck is played by Snips the Duck. Have a wonderful day, or night, or whatever time it is, just, you know, have a wonderful time. And subscribe to our show in your favorite podcast player so you know right away when we release new content.